Holy Spirit, I ask you to take over from this moment onwards, please. Just put words in my mouth that you want your church to hear. Thank you. Thank you. I just want you to imagine today that you are at the cinema, okay? And I want you to see a landscape, okay? And you have a valley and you have mountains, and I would like you to imagine that there are people there living in the mountain, okay? So you can see the green, the grass, the mountain, the trees, and you can see people that are little people up there in the mountain, okay? And I just want you to imagine that in the valley there are growing crops. Okay, and they're ready, they've sown, and they're expecting the harvest. And when the harvest comes, people want to go down and collect the grain and the harvest and everything. And as soon as they want to go and do that, there's another people come along and steal everything away. That is exactly what happened. It is described in the Bible, okay, and we're going to look at these things today in the book of Judges, okay, and we're going to walk through that from chapter 6 to chapter 8, okay, and there was, in that book, they talk about a gentleman called Gideon, okay, and the people who are actually taking everything away are called the Midianites, and for some reason that I don't really want to go in today, the Lord had given the Israelites into the hands of the Midianites because they disobeyed God for some reason. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. What we're going to talk about is the fact that these people were hiding. They didn't know what to do. They were there and they were hiding from the Midianites and whatever they could do. And it says there that Gideon was actually pressing the grain. He was threshing the grain in the wine press. The wine press is not made for that. The wine press is made for pressing the juice out of the grapes. But he was threshing the grain out of the wine press because he wanted to hide away from the Midianites. Now, how many times does that happen with us? You know, that something happens in our life and we just want to hide away and try and resolve the problem in our little way somewhere in a corner that nobody can see what we're doing, but we're trying to get what we need. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Okay, so this is what we do. And that is exactly what Gideon did. And also, we do that. There's a reason behind that. The reason is that we are fearful. We are scared. We are scared of what the world may think. We are scared of what our neighbor might think. Sometimes we are even scared of what our wives or our husbands might think when we do something to try and resolve a situation. So we just hide away. And then we become weaker because we don't face the situation. We're not there in front of it, confronting this evil thing that is happening and saying, get out of my life. We don't do that. We become sort of spiritual cowards, shall I say. Okay? This happens regularly. And it's not something that, you know, it is not a word or a name that is put on us like that systematically. It's just that it's our attitude that is like that. We don't think of ourselves as cowards. But it's just the fact that we sort of try and go into our own little corner and solve the thing without facing it properly. You know? And then comes God along and he says, oh, mighty man of valor. Me? Me, mighty man of valor? Come on, I can't do anything. Oh, yes, but you are a mighty man of valor. And you start, you know, pumping yourself up. You say, hey, I'm a mighty man of valor. I am worth something. But, but are you sure? Are you sure that you're talking to me? Are you sure that it's not my neighbor you're talking to? Perhaps it's my wife you're talking to. No. You are a mighty man of valor. Every single person in this church here, in the eyes of our Lord, is a mighty man of valor. Man in the sense of human being. In other words, a mighty woman of valor. Amen. Right? That is what we are in the eyes of our Lord. We are not just people, we are mighty men. And what does mighty men do? What do, mighty men? They fight. They fight. They resist the enemy. That is what mighty men do. I've been put on a leash. I've been put on a leash here. I'm restricted in my movement. I think the pastor is scared that I'm going to jump into the. Oh dear. But then you see what happens is that although God says that we are mighty men, we just fall down and we say, Lord, listen, I am sick and tired of this situation here. Whatever it may be in your lives, I'm just sick and tired of it. I can't cope anymore with people stealing whatever I'm doing. It's just not possible. So we cry out to God. And we say, please help me here. Please help me in this situation. Show me what to do. And the first thing that God says, well, the first thing that God said to Gideon is, get rid of the statues of Baal that your father has in his house. So the first thing that we need to do to get through the situation is to clean up our lives. We must clean up our lives. Anything that is wrong in our lives that we can see immediately, we just get rid of. We purify our hearts and then say to God, is there something else? Perhaps that I don't know about or I haven't noticed, I can't see. Just show me what it is so I can get rid of it too. And then once we've done that, then God says to you, yeah, but are you sure, God, you're talking to me? Because he says things to you and then you hesitate. You know, let me tell you something that happened to me this week. I mean, I know when I'm going to preach virtually a week in advance. Yeah, I know more or less when I'm going to preach. So what happens is that I pray to God and I say to God, give me a message. I don't want to sort of open the Bible and say I'm going to preach about that today or next Sunday. I say to God, give me a message. What do you want your people to hear? Because that is important. It's not what I want to say, it's what he wants to say to you. So I started, and I had trouble writing down. I had trouble making notes. And that was on Tuesday evening, I think it was, you know. And then on Thursday morning, I was there having my shower, and suddenly I hear talk about Gideon. I said, but that's got nothing to do with what I was preparing. Absolutely nothing. He said, talk about Gideon. I said, okay, I'll talk about Gideon. And I didn't know. I said, what is the message? What do you want me to preach about? Are you sure? Send me a sign. And that is what Gideon did. That is what he did. He said, show me a sign. And the angel of the Lord said to him, take some fire, make an altar, put some of the wood and sacrifice. And the flames of heaven came in and consumed it all. That was a sign of the angel of the Lord to Gideon that he had to do something. So, of course, that situation, Gideon was still very, very afraid, because when God said to him, get rid of the problems in your life, which were the statues of Baal in his father's house, he said, my dad's going to kill me. My dad's going to kill me if I do that. He's just going to whack me until I, you know. But that's what we need to do sometimes. Sometimes we need to fight against our own people because we need to correct something. It happens. But the fact is that after that, his father realized, okay, fine, yes, that had to happen. But he did it by night because he was afraid. We need to stand up for what we believe in. We need to stand up in what we believe in. We should not ever say, okay, I'll just hide away and do it. People of God, we have nothing to hide from anybody. We've been singing about it today. We have nothing to hide. Our God is much higher, much bigger, and much more powerful than anything else that can exist. We have nothing to hide because we serve the living God. We serve Him. And that is something that is extremely important that we keep into our hearts. The power of our God. The power of our God is something so extraordinary that we don't know what's going on, but somebody is suffering 50 or 60 miles away and you can feel it in your body that something is going on. That is the power of our God. It is extraordinary. You are sharing the burden of your fellow brother. You can feel it. God moves in very mysterious ways. But I can tell you, when it happens, get down on your knees and pray to God. And say to him, Father, I don't know what's going on. I have no idea what your plan is. But I am here because use me the way that you want me to be used through you. Just show me what you want me to do. What do you want me to pray? Pray in tongues, because the Holy Spirit is going to fill your soul. He's going to fill your spirit. And he's going to tell you what to pray for. And even if you don't know, it doesn't matter. The words are just going to flow out of your soul, out of your spirit. And they're going to touch whoever needs to be touched. Just get down onto your knees when you feel something like that. Because you don't always know what's going on. But he does know. Our Father in heaven knows absolutely everything. And he knew that he was there with somebody who was weak or said he was weak. I am the weakest of my family, said Gideon. And my family is the weakest of our clan, said he. But people use us, the weak people. And do you know why God uses weak people? Because in him we are strong.
Yeah.
Okay? And it is through him that we can actually do things. And if we are strong people, we could say, no, I did that. We didn't do anything. God gives us victories. And it is him that does everything. He uses us, yes. But we are weak before he uses us. And I can tell you, if you think you're strong, then it is indeed time that you got down on your knees and said, Father God, I am sorry, because without you I'm absolutely nothing. I can't do anything. Because if you think that you are strong, whoever it may be, then you have pride. We need to be humble. We need to humble ourselves before our Lord and say, Lord, whatever situation I'm living today, you are going to resolve it for me. You are going to give me that victory. Perhaps you are going to use me to do it, but the victory will be yours. Yeah. Amen. So let's get on with Gideon. So he was there and he was saying, I'm going to get rid of those statues of Baal. I'm going to do it by night because my dad's going to kill me if he sees me do it. Ah, yes. Yes, there's the problem of the Midianites. There's the problem of the Midianites. So you want me to go and fight against the Midianites? Me, who's scared of taking the statues away from my father's house, and you want me in the open to go in battle against the Midianites? Uh-uh. I don't believe that you're going to do that. Do you know what I'm going to do, God? I'm going to take a skin of this lamb, and I'm going to lay it down on the floor, and if that's wet in the morning and all the rest around it is dry, then I'll believe it's you that are telling me to do that. So what does Gideon do? He takes the fleece, he puts it down on the floor, goes to bed. He says, not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But the trouble is, when he got up in the morning, the fleece was completely wet and the ground was dry. So he said, uh-oh, I'm in for it now. I'm going to have to do it. He said, but there's something not quite right here. Perhaps my neighbor came and put some water on the fleece or something like that. God, listen, do you know what? We're going to do that again, if you don't mind. Let me just put another fleece there. Okay, he didn't put it through the tumble dryer. He just took another one, put it down there, and said, if that one is dry and everything is wet around, then you are telling me what I have to do. So I went to sleep again. The next morning he was anxious, of course. He said, what happens if it does happen that way? I said, I'm going to have to go through all this. But anyway, in the next morning, the fleece was dry and the ground was wet. How many times do we question God? How many times do we question God? Saying, God, are you sure? I'm guilty of that this week. I am guilty of that this week, because when I got out of my shower on Thursday morning, I said, that can't be true, God. Come on, I was preparing something on, what was it about, darling? I can't remember now. I was preparing another message. I said, it's got nothing to do with it. Are you sure that I'm not sure I heard God. Then it could be something, I don't know, something in my imagination. And then I said to myself, no. I am going to trust
that little voice that I have heard to believe that it was God that said to me, talk about Gideon. Okay. And then I thought, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to make my notes and it'll flow because God has given me the message. Uh-uh. Absolutely nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. And you can notice, I've only got one iPad at the moment, and this iPad comes right from heaven. It is the Holy Spirit that's putting those words in my mouth, because I haven't got one single note for today. The only thing I have done is prepare. I have read, I have studied, I have prayed, but I have not got any notes, because I couldn't write anything down. Would you believe it? I've been sitting there for hours during this week, in front of my computer, not one single word was able to be put down. I just couldn't do it. So why do we question God? I said to my wife just after the worship, I am guilty this morning. I am guilty of distrusting my Lord. Because he said something to me and I hesitated. I hesitated. And I said, is it possible? I have to ask forgiveness for this. Because I need to trust what my Lord tells me to do. And we all need to do the same thing. We need, when we hear that little sweet voice telling us to do something, we need to immediately be obedient. And say, Lord, whatever happens, you're in control.
Yes.
You are the one who guides my life. We shout about it, we sing about it, we pray about it, we declare it to everybody. The Lord is my guide. He is the one who does it for me. I have no troubles. I have no worries. How many times have you heard me say this? I don't worry about anything. And it is true, except for this week. We must be strong. And when God, if you hear that little voice, just say, yep, I'm ready. No fleeces. Just obedience. We don't need fleeces. Now, because in those days, of course, Gideon did not know about Jesus. He knew there was a God. And when he sacrificed the meat there that was consumed, he actually said, this is the God of peace. Jehovah Shalom is what he said. That's the God of peace, because he put peace in my heart, in his heart. And you know, we were praying there at the back today before the service. And that is where everything came into place. And I wasn't feeling well this morning. And I said to my wife, I said, listen, let's go straight to the worship, because I just can't feel it. She said to me, Philip, if you don't feel it, you've got to go. You must go. That is now the time you must go. Of course it must go. Of course I had to go. But that is where everything came together. That is where God spoke to me. That is where, when I say spoke to me, I didn't hear anything, but I could feel a change in my soul. I could feel a change in my soul. Something had happened during that prayer. And of course, during the worship, it was so marvelous as well. And that is something else that we can do, is just sing. Praise God. When things go wrong, just praise the Lord. Just put music on. Make it loud. It doesn't matter about the neighbors. And just get your soul and your spirit in that music. You don't have to sing, but lift up your soul within the music. Lift up your soul. And you will. The whole atmosphere is going to change. Because, as it said there, and we spoke about it, and we sung about it, when I praise, the devil trembles. Amen. Yes. And it raises up like incense. We haven't got any incense today. We don't use it. Because our worship is so much more powerful than earthly incense. It goes straight up to the Lord. And he says, hey, my son is worshiping me. He's praising me. I am listening. Yes. And he can hear us. He doesn't hear the words. He hears our hearts. He hears our soul. He hears our spirits. And he said, I am going to pour balm over the heart of my son. Because he's not feeling very well at the moment. But he is praising me. So who I am not to respond? Who am I not to respond to a cry from the heart of one of my sons or daughters? Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
God listens, my friends. He listens to us when we are in need.
Yes.
And although we may think God is not there, he hasn't done anything for me today, we are wrong. We did not hear him. But he was there all the time. And when we feel so weak that we just want to abandon, in reality, he's just carrying us in his hand.
Yes.
But we don't realize it. And then, of course, we come to the point where he is going to solve the situations. So we sit there and we think, how am I going to do that? Or how does God want me to do that? Because that is the important point. It is not what how I am going to do it. Is I want to know what God wants me to do to resolve the situation. Whatever it may be. Whatever situation is in your life. Just say, how does God want me to resolve the situation? Don't try and go fast. Don't try and precipitate things. Because precipitation will lead us to be deaf. We must pray, we must praise, and we must wait on the Lord. Now, what does that mean, wait on the Lord? That means wait for the correct time, and God will let you know when it is the correct time. But we must, before all, listen to him. We must open our hearts and open our minds to what he is telling us. And look around us, look at the circumstances, look around and say, is God's showing me a sign somewhere, a direction that he wants me to go in? We need to listen. And we need to know that God is going to give us a strategy. And you know, the strategies of God are so strange, my brothers. They are so strange. Something we say, but how on earth is that possible? You know, I mean, Gideon, he got 3,000 men around him, mighty men of valor, every single one of them. And God said, far too many. I don't want that. Yeah, but Lord, there are 135,000 Midianites in their armies there. 135. I've only got 3,000. He said, too much. He said, I am going to separate some people. He said, take them all to the lake or to the river and you're going to make them drink. And then, of course, some took their hands and started drinking. Some took a pitcher and drank. And God just eliminated every single one, except the ones that put their knees down on the ground. Imagine, because they were drinking with their mouth straight in the water. So just think of that position when I say to you, get your knees on the ground. There's an expression in Portuguese that says, mouth in the dust. Right? And it says that, and it's true. These people had their knees on the ground to be able to drink. They humbled themselves before God, even if they didn't know about it. They were humbling themselves. And God said, those are the ones I want. Those are the ones I'm going to use. How many were there? Does anybody know? 300. Come on, 300. 300. 10% of what he had. And Gideon sort of went, okay, well, if you say so, sir. Yeah, but come on. God doesn't need a lot to have a miracle going on. He wants a willing heart. He wants a willing heart and somebody who trusts him. That is all he needs. That we put his trust, our trust in him, that we have faith that he is going to solve the situation. That is all he needs. The rest is up to him. So with those 300 men, God said, I am going to show you what I can do with 300 men. But of course, Gideon being Gideon, he was still very hesitant. And he still didn't know very well what was going to happen. So he said, I'm still scared. I'm going to go and listen. And God said to him, go and listen to the camp of the enemy. Go down there. Go and investigate. And sometimes that's what we need to do. Go and investigate into the camp of the enemy. See what they're up to. What's going on? Send some spies down there to go and see what's going to happen. So that you can prepare yourself. And then what happened is that when he went there, he actually heard one of those guys said, I had a dream. To one of his friends, you know, fellow soldiers. And he said, I have a dream. And that dream was a loaf of barley, a loaf of bread, was rolling into their camp. Okay, and hit a tent, and the tent fell over. And the other guy said, careful, that's Gideon.
It's written in this book. If you don't believe me, chapter 6, 7, and 8 of Judges. It's written there. I'm not inventing anything. So what did Gideon do? He said, oh, yeah, man. Well, the victory is ours. Victory is ours. So God already showed him the victory. But you see, we don't have to have a dream told to us. Because Jesus Christ has already had the victory in every circumstance of our life. He is the conqueror. He is the one who vanquished every single enemy that exists. So we don't need a sign. We already know it is going to happen. We just need faith. We just need faith. Say, Lord, I trust you, because that is what you need. I need my heart to be trustworthy to the Lord and to believe that the result is coming. Sorry, I'm going to correct that. I'm going to correct that. The result is already here.
Amen.
Because faith is not something for the future. Faith is for now. Hope is for the future. We hope in salvation. We hope that we are going to be with God in the future. But we have faith. It is happening now. We are with Him now. That is faith.
Yes.
The solution to your problem is already here. The solution to your problem is in the palm of your hand. But we don't see it yet. Okay? God is going to open up our spiritual eyes and He's going to show us in the realm of reality where that solution is, where that problem is, and the victory, where it is. But in our hands, we already have that victory. The only thing we have to do is this, my friends. Close your hand and grab it.
Amen.
That is what we need to do. And that is what Gideon did. He said, okay, if that's what's going on, Lord, that's what's going to happen. Now, 300, the Lord said that was just enough. Okay, I'm going to divide you into three groups. 100 each. And I'm going to give you something very special weapon I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you a pitcher. A pitcher. This is a pitcher, but this is a glass pitcher, okay? Now, He gave them earthen pitchers, right? And He gave them a trumpet, each one of them. Okay? And He said, you're going to go around that way, you're going to go around that way, and I'm going to go this way, towards the camp of the enemy. Remember, 135,000. And when I blow the trumpet, you are all going to blow the trumpet, and you're going to crash your pitchers, and they're going to break, they're going to make a lot of noise. Amen? Sometimes we just need to make a lot of noise to the devil to let him know that he can't win. We just have to say to him, you know, get out of my way, mate, because there's nothing you can do about this, because God is in control. He has already given me the victory, and you are just trying to resist. So just get out of my way. Make some noise. So what happens? Well, it's very simple. Suddenly, Gideon goes, clash, clash, doot, doot, you know, and everybody starts doing that. Panic in the camp of the enemy. There was so much panic that they took their sword and started killing each other. They started killing each other. Gideon didn't even kill anybody. But 120,000 men were slaughtered that day. God gave them a tremendous victory. God gave them tremendous victory. So we know that when God does something, man, does He do it. You know, you don't have to worry about small victories. Small victory is just getting up in the morning. That's a victory. You know, small victories, roll out of bed and stand up. But when it comes to bigger things, God does things so big that we can't even measure them. It is enormous what God can do.
Amen.
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 It is absolutely extraordinary. And the only thing we have to do is to say to God, I trust you.
Yes.
And shout to the devil, get out of my way, man, because my God is coming.
Yes.
It's the only thing we have to do. But we've got to remember one thing. Once that has happened, we have to praise God. And we have to thank Him for His victory. For what He has done, even if He has used us. The victory is the Lord's.
Amen.
It is He that does things in our lives.
Yes.
We are not capable of lifting the little finger without Him.
No.
It is He that does everything. Let's remain humble, my brothers.
Yes.
Because what happened to Gideon? Well, he said to his men there, he said, let each one of them, each one of you, give me the earring of the enemies that you have collected. So everybody brought the earring, the spoils, you know, of the battle, brought them to Gideon. And Gideon made an ephod with, and that's a priestly garment, okay, with the gold. And he put it in the center of the town as a remembrance of the victory. That was the intention. However, the Bible says very clearly that this became a snare to the people of Israel and to Gideon. In other words, they began to worship the ephod and not the Lord. What happens, you see, very often is that we have a victory, a tremendous victory, and we say to people, look, I'm going to take me as an example. Please, this is not true. It's just I'm just trying to show you something, okay? That's not what I do, but I just want to show you because I don't want to talk about anybody else. Do you know everybody knows that I had a problem with my knee? Okay, well, I was healed by that, and I could say, hey, look at this, you know. Wow, my knee's healed, you know, great stuff, you know, wow, isn't it wonderful? I did a lot of exercise, which is true. I've been climbing stairs, which is true. I did lose weight. I put it back on again, but it doesn't really matter, you know. and all that has healed my knee. What I should be doing, and what I do, is saying, God has healed my knee. And never forget it. Even if it's 10 years later, even if it's 20 years later, God has healed my knee. It is not me that has done something. It is God who sorts out things for me. Let's never forget that. Yes. All the glory goes to Him. Yes. Always. Yes. In all circumstances, let the glory go to God.
Amen.
Yes. Wow. Come on, be enthusiastic. Come on, what's going on? Everybody's sleeping today. True, come on, the glory goes to God. He is the one that God needs to be glorified. He is the one that we need to thank. He is the one that we need to praise. He is the one that we need to pray to. Because He is the one that opens the paths. He is the one that makes the paths straight that are crooked. He is the one that makes a path when there is no path. He is the one that moves the mountains. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And if you think about it, I have probably forgotten a few passages of Gideon there. But I think that the important thing is that you understand what God's message is today.
Yes.
Let's trust in our Lord for victory.
Yes.
Because that is the important thing. Nobody can do anything against us.
Amen.
If we have our God with us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just pray this morning. Father God, I want to thank You today for Your wonderful victories. I want to thank You, Father, for showing us what to do and how to do this. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Because not only do You give us the victory, but You show us how to get the victory from You, Lord. You guide us in all things, Lord. You show us the way. You show us the strategies that You give us, just like the strategies You gave to Gideon, Lord. And we need to trust You, Lord, that very, very little things are those that give us the victory, because You need so little, Lord. All You want is for us to look up to You and say, Lord, I'm here. Just use me if You need to, Lord. I'm just here with You. I'm just here. I'm looking up to You, Lord. And I trust You. I put all my belief in You. I put all my trust and all my faith in what You are going to achieve today, Lord. And tomorrow I'll be getting up again, Lord, and I'll be saying to You, Lord, look at me. Turn Your face toward me, Lord. And just look at me and say, Lord, I'm still here. I'm waiting patiently on You, Lord. I am waiting, and I know that if You are not doing anything at the moment, or at least I can't see what You are doing, Lord, I know that You are preparing the victory for me.
Amen.
Because when You are silent, Lord, You are actually working.
Hallelujah.
And we know that we can trust in You, Lord. Even if the outside world tells us the opposite, Lord, we know
that you are the one that is doing it. And as it is written, our enemies are going to flee from us seven ways, Lord. They are going to run away from us, not because they are running away from us, but because they are running away from you, Lord, because we represent you. So when you then our enemies see us, they see you in us.
Yes.
And that is why they're going to flee, Lord. I've always wondered what that passage meant, but now I understand it. Thank you for that revelation, Lord. That it is not, they don't flee before us, they flee before your presence in us, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Glory be to you, Father. Yes. Glory be to you. Oh, we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you so much. Because everything that we have, every single victory belongs to you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Please be patient with us. Please be patient with us, because sometimes we want things to happen faster than you are prepared to do. Because you know that if you do them fast, or if they happen fast, it might not be the right thing for us, Lord. Please help us to be patient, Lord, and to wait on you. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I thank you. Amen.